When the Mountain Came to Miramar by Charles W. Diffin. Part A. The first tremor that set the timbers of the house to creaking brought Garry Connell out of his bunk and into the middle of the floor. Then the floor heaved and adobe walls swayed while the man fought to keep his footing and pull himself through the doorway to the safety of the dark night. The earthquake that came with the spring of 1932 was on. He was nauseated with that deathly sickness that only an earthquake gives, and he dropped breathlessly in the shelter of a date palm, while the earth beneath him rolled and groaned in agony. A deeper roar was rising above all other sounds, and Connell looked up at the nearby top of Sentinel Mountain. The stars of the desert land showed clear. The grim blackness of Sentinel's lone peak rose abruptly from the sand of the desert floor in darker silhouette against the velvet of a midnight sky. And the mountain was roaring. Softened by the distance, the deep, grumbling bass sang thunderingly through and above the other noises of the night, as if old Sentinel itself were voicing its remonstrance against this disturbance of its age-long rest. The grumbling died to a clatter of falling boulders 100 yards away at the mountain's base, and Connell's eyes discerned a puff of vaporous gray, a cloud of wind-blown dust high up on the mountain's flank. "Holy cats!" said Garry explosively. "What a slide! That must have ripped the old boy wide open!" His eyes followed the white scar far up on the mountainside, followed it down to the last loosened stones that had crashed among the date palms of Miramar Ranch. "I don't just like the idea of a whole mountain moving in on me," he told himself. "I'll have to go up and look at that tomorrow." It was afternoon of the following day when Garry rolled blankets and food into a snug pack and prepared for the ascent. "Guess likely I'll sleep out tonight," he mused, and looked at the pistol held in his hand. "I don't want that thing slapping against me," he argued. "Too darned hot, and there's nothing to use a gun on up on Sentinel." "Oh, well." He threw the holster upon his bunk and dropped the automatic into the pack he was rolling. "I'll take it along. Might meet up with a rattler." He brushed the sandy hair from his wet forehead and straightened to his full 6 feet of slender height before he slipped the straps of his pack about his shoulders. And a broad grin made pleasant lines about his gray eyes as he realized the boyish curiosity that was driving him to a stiff climb in the heat of the day. There was no real trail up the 1,000-foot slope of Sentinel Mountain. Prospectors had been over it, doubtless, in earlier days, but in all of Garry's 21 years, no one besides himself had ever made the ascent. There was nothing in all that solitary, desolate peak to call them, nothing, for that matter, to beckon Garry, except the hot desert days, the cool breath of evening, and the glory of nights when the stars hung low over all the miles of sand and sagebrush that reached far out to the rippling sand dunes shimmering in the distance. Nothing, that is, but the feel of the desert. And young Garry Connell was desert-born and bred. He stopped once and dropped his pack while he mopped his wet face. From this point, he could see his own ranch spread below him. Miramar, he had named it. Beautiful sea. The name was half an affectionate mockery of this land, where the nearest water was 50 miles away, and half because of the sea of blue that he looked at now. Garry had never ceased to wonder at the mirage. It was always the same in the summer heat, a phantom ocean of water. Garry's eyes loved to follow the quivering blue expanse that seemed so cool and deep. It rippled softly away to end in a line of white, like distant breakers on the horizon's rolling dunes. This had been the bed of an ocean in some distant past, and that ancient ocean could never have seemed more real than this. Yet Garry knew that this sea would vanish with the setting sun. He had watched it often. 100 yards farther, and he stopped again. It was no well-trodden path that Garry followed, but he knew his landmarks. There was the big split rock a half mile ahead, and the three-branched cactus beside it. But between these and the place where Garry stood was a fan-shaped sweep of boulders, and this where smooth going had been before. He forgot for the moment all discomfort. He stood staring under the hot sun that cast purple shadows beside the weathered rocks, and his eyes followed up the scarred mountainside. That whole ledge that stood up there.